gospel reading we have just heard is a deep, deep story and a strange one. I want to follow one particular side of the story, one that takes some work in order to understand it as Matthew meant it to be understood, not just on its surface literally, but in its depths. Here's the issue. Sometimes you or I get into deep water. We get into trouble and know that if it's bad trouble, we know we need God. Now, sometimes we get into trouble and it's not our fault because something really bad has happened to us or something like that. We can understand that. Bad things happen and we need God's help. Or sometimes we're in deep water because we have done something wrong. But it's different when we get into trouble because we are doing exactly what God wants us to do. That's counterintuitive. Many passages of Scripture and common sense both say that when we follow God's way, it may be difficult, but we'll be in peace and prosperity and won't end up in trouble. Sometimes that is so, but sometimes it definitely is not. Consider what happened to Martin Luther King Jr. when he followed God's way. What on earth does God have in mind? That, I think, is one of the main things this gospel is about. This happens right after the great triumph of the feeding of the 5,000. The disciples are given no time to rest or savor the wonder. Immediately, Jesus made them get into the boat. Made is actually in Greek a stronger word. He forced them, compelled them, so they obeyed. They did what they were told by their master. But they soon encountered adverse wind and threatening waves. Surely they were in exhaustion and frustration, and it is clear they were in fear for their lives. Doing what Jesus says, following God's way, it produces that kind of struggle. Jesus comes to them walking on the water, and they are afraid. They cry out, "This is a ghost." Jesus said, in Matthew's Greek from the Septuagint, "Ego eimi," I am. That can just mean it's me, how it's ordinarily translated. But it can also mean the name of God, I am. And then immediately Jesus says, "Fear not." Matthew was writing for people who knew the Bible, for them what we call the Old Testament, and who knew it perhaps rather better than most people do today. Israel feared the sea, feared wild water. They were an inland people, and they didn't like ships. Consider what Psalm 107 has to say about that, that all of those people would have known. Some went down to the sea in ships and plied their trade in deep waters. They beheld the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Then he spoke, and a stormy wind arose, which tossed high the waves of the sea. They mounted up to the heavens and fell back to the depths. Their hearts melted because of their peril. They reeled and staggered like drunkards and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper and quieted the waves of the sea. Being in deep water with a storm is a symbol the Bible often uses to evoke chaos, loss of control, and the threat of death, personal and political death. And yet in the psalm, people who are caught in the deep water cry to the Lord, and they learn the hard way that God saves. The most basic event in the whole life of Israel, the story that formed God's people, they remembered every year was about them facing deep water. Matthew wants us to think of Exodus. After the terrible confrontation of Moses and Pharaoh, God summoned the people to leave Egypt, and they obeyed. They did what God, through Moses, told them. In haste, they got their things together and went the way Moses told them. They found themselves on the shore of the Red Sea, the waters of the sea on one side, the approaching armies of Pharaoh on the other, and they were afraid. But in Exodus 14:13, but Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, fear not," the same words. "Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will accomplish for you today." Hear from Psalm 77, what Israel remembered what God did then. "You are the God who works wonders and have declared your power among the peoples. By your strength, you have redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, O God, the waters saw you and trembled. The very depths were shaken. The clouds poured out water, the skies thundered, your arrows flashed to and fro. The sound of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea, and your paths in the great waters. Yet your footsteps were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." In that psalm, it was God who walked on the waters, who led Israel through the sea unto dry land. And for them, walking God's way, following what God said, did mean going through deep water. They had to trust God and keep going all the same. That is what Jesus was teaching the disciples in the boat. It was not all going to be like the feeding of the 5,000. They were following Jesus in an immensely difficult mission, proclaiming the kingdom of God in the teeth of massive, hostile political and religious power. They faced fierce opposition and threat. Soon to them, Jesus predicted that he himself would go to the cross. The disciples, doing what Jesus told them, rowing against the wind and wild sea, that was a pretty strong parallel to what their whole mission was going to be like. But what happens? Jesus comes to them over the sea. "It is I," or "I am. Fear not." The same God who brought Israel through the Red Sea is in Jesus. Jesus does what God does. Fear not. When Matthew told what happened on the lake, he wanted people to hear what was already in their memories, echoes of another story, not the Exodus of long ago, but the Exodus of Jesus, when Jesus followed his mission, walked God's way, the way of faith and obedience, all the way to the terrible cross, when the waters of death did close over him. God lifted Jesus out of those waters. God raised him from the dead. Matthew tells us about the women who came to the tomb in sheer despair. When they first heard just what the disciples in the boat had heard, Jesus said, "Fear not." Jesus himself came to them, himself, not a ghost, alive out of death, saying, "Rejoice, fear not," just as he had done before, he himself lifting them out of the deep water. "I am, fear not." So what then can we make of this? First, following God's way is not a ticket to the easy life. If you run into trouble, frustration, conflict, It need not mean that you are doing the wrong thing. It may be an indication that you are in exactly the right way. That was true for the disciples. Certainly it was true for Jesus. The deep waters give us a chance to grow in faith, to learn to trust, to deepen our hearing of God. That gives us a chance to get to know God in Jesus. It is I am. And learning that God does come sooner or later to still the storm and save. Where in your life have you been following what you heard from God and found it hard going? I know that there are people here this morning who are in that situation right now and others who will be. Our country is in the deep water of evil and incompetent government. This parish, we here, are trying to follow Jesus in the way of faith in face of that. And at times, we will find the going very hard indeed. But here is the promise for you, for St. Luke's, for us all, for all our fears and doubts. We are going to learn more deeply what faith is. We are going to get to know this God we seek to follow. Know God more directly and immediately. I am. Fear not. For across the deepest waters, God comes. God comes to us, and sooner or later, God with us in Jesus will set things right.